Okay, what we're going to do today is going to be a little different from what we do normally on Thursday nights. There's going to be more halacha, probably less machshava, but we'll see how much we can get to. The Shulchan Aruch in Simen Tav Resh Lamed Tet tells us, and I'm skipping and I'm being selective in what I'm reading, Ochlim v'shotim v'yishenim v'sukah kol shiva, that for the whole 7 days of Sukkot, we eat and we drink and we sleep in the Sukkah. This should be a reason I've tried to claim why rabbis shouldn't speak at all in shul over Sukkot, because you want people to sleep in the Sukkah, not in other places. Bein bayom, bein balayla. Ve'ein yishenim chutz l'sukkah filu shenat arai. So that's, you shouldn't even have the slightest closing of your eyes outside of the Sukkah. This is one of the things that a lot of people are very lenient on. But you could eat, you know, a small, inconsequential snack outside of Sukkah. Essentially, what the Sukkah does is it replaces your house. And occasionally we eat outside of the house. So occasionally we should not be sleeping outside of the house. Again, unless somebody's really leaving, going away. But that's really what it's pointing at over here. That the Sukkah becomes your kitchen, your dining room, becomes your living room, and it becomes your bedroom. There are those who see the Sukkah as being so holy that it couldn't possibly be the bedroom, but that's a perversion based of the Halakha, of the Gemara, of the Rambam, of all sources. V'kam achilat arai kebeitza mipat. Umutu l'shtot naim, and then there's this other girsa that says v'yayin. There's a whole discussion about that, if that's right or not right, because it could be that drinking a water, that is something that somebody does outside of their house, but maybe wine is actually sitting and having a proper, shall we say, you sit to have wine. L'chol peirot, chutz l'sukah. V'afilu kovar alayah chutz l'sukah. U'mi sheyachmir la'atzmo, v'lo yishteh chutz l'sukah filu mayim harei zeh meshubach. Which was really the reason that I wanted to get to this halacha, is it says that that water you could drink outside, and that we saw in passing before, but nonetheless we're told if a person is machmir in themselves, and even water they don't have outside, that's good, which means that they're not obligated to have water inside the sukkah. They can have water outside, but if you're machmir, then that is a good thing. The Ramah here adds, Umar shenogin l'kelach shav b'shina, she'ein yishenim b'sukkah, raka medaktikim b'mitzvot. So the Ramah is telling us back, certainly the way that it was in Krakow 400 or 500 years ago, Yeshom Mishun Tsina, some say because it's really cold, the Yeshtzar Lichomam Kamata Karim, the Linura Mishum de Mitzvot Sukha Ishu Veto, Ishvi Ishto Kader Shu Dar Koloshana, is that a person should be together with their spouse, Vmakum Shalayu Khalishonim Ishto, and if you can sleep there together with spouse, Sha'in Lusukam Yuchadit Patur, which means that if it's awkward for a husband and wife to be in a Sukkah, and he said it's proper for a person to try to build a sukkah. When we built our new house, that was the one thing that I told the architect, is that I want there to be a porch off of our bedroom that I could put a small sukkah for us. And he put a porch there and everything is good, except the porch is too small. And when it was finished, I looked up and I see that the eaves of the roof come and cover most of the porch. And I said to him, what is that? And he goes, oh yeah, of course that. I said, that's the one thing I asked you for. So I guess I didn't. I should have held off payment until that was done. But I can't sleep on my porch. So, Sif Gimel. Achila pesukah b'lo yom tov rishon chova. When it comes to the first night, we're absolutely obligated. Afilo chal kazayit pat yatzei de chova, and the minimum is to have at least a kazayit. Sif, hey, yor du geshamim, if it starts to rain, harizin echnas l'toch habayit. Then you go into your house. When can you turn around and go in the house? What's the point? The point is if your food is being ruined, then you... So again, part of the sukkah should be your dining room. If it's no longer a functioning dining room because the food in the room is getting ruined, that would be a reason to leave that dining room. So therefore, if your sukkah is a place that your food is being ruined, you can leave. Hagav yafilu ein tafshir lefanav, meaning it doesn't have to be there. You don't have to wait for your food to get ruined. You can make an a calculation. Mishenu Bakiba Zashir, you don't know how much it is. Yisha'erim Yehudu Kolkach Kishamim LaBayit Ima Yehotzei. Think about the same thing. And I just want to be careful. I'll translate in a moment. The word Bayit doesn't always mean in rabbinic literature a house. Sometimes it means a room. Which means if you have a room, that water was dripping into that room, would you stay in that room or would you leave that room? If the answer is you would leave that room to go to a different room that was dry, it's at that point he's saying you can leave the sukkah. It's the amount that you would leave that room. Yetzi misukkoto gamkein. V'kol zedafka b'sharyamim ol leilot shel sukkah. That's regarding, or sukkot, that's regarding all the other days of a laila harishona, but regarding the first day, tzorich l'kol chazay p'sukkah af im gishamim yordim. You need on the first night, even if it's raining, to eat in the sukkah. And that, by the way, is a very strange law. And that's one of the things that I want to try to explain. I don't remember. I don't know if this is a bracha or a curse. I don't remember. Those of you who live in Chutz La'aretz, is that true for the first night and the second night, or is that only the first night? Just the first night. So that itself is very interesting, because if there's something special about the first night, so don't we normally say the second night is just a repeat of the first night? So shouldn't it be exactly the same? So much so on the second night of Rosh Hashanah, right? We make a Shachiyanu and so on, which means why is the second night over here not the same as the first? So I'll answer that as well as we go on, because I think that there is an answer to that. Siv Zayin, Hayayoshen, you were sleeping, meaning you followed the halacha as written in Siv Bet. V'yardu gashamim b'layla, and the rain falls at night. V'nichnas l'toch habayit, and it comes inside. U'pasku gashamim, and then, sorry, v'yardu gashamim b'layla, v'nichnas l'toch habayit. Sorry. It was raining, and you go inside your house. U'pasku gashamim, and then the rain stops. Ein matrichin ato l'chzor l'sukkah, kol ato l'layla. We don't obligate the person to go back to the sukkah. El yoshem b'veito ad she'elel mun ha'shachar. Once you're sleeping, we don't force a person to get up. Hagah, the Rama says, V'yeru mishnato, mishahu yoshen b'sukkah v'yadur gishamim, ein tzarech l'sha'er b'chdeshid kalkula tavshil. When it comes to sleeping, you're sleeping in the sukkah, it starts to rain, you don't have to do the same calculation. Would my food be rude now? Which means, does the whole sukkah follow the food rule? You know, it's interesting that we follow Rabbeinu Tam. We make a bracha when we eat. We don't make a bracha when we lie down to sleep, which itself is interesting. So maybe you would think that the whole essence of the sukkah follows the food rule. He says, no. No, it has to. If it's raining a little on you, that would be enough for a person to have tsar. And this is one of the interesting rules about a sukkah, that somebody has tsar, then they're patur. Then they are not obligated anymore. And anybody who is not obligated and doesn't leave, that person doesn't get reward for their heroic behavior and sitting in the sukkah in the rain, but rather they're called a hedyot. The source over here says, look in the Hagot Mamoniot Perek Vav, which we shall. When you leave the sukkah because of the rain, don't kick it on your way out. How do you leave? You kind of bow your head. You accept the judgment, ke'eved shemozei kos l'rabo, like a servant who poured a cup for the, or mixed is a better word, they mixed a cup for their master, ushachvo panav, and he poured it in his face. So now, this Ramah was really interesting, because he sort of mixed his metaphors, and he used actually two different gemarot, which we'll see, in order to get his point across. But one question that I have is that it says that if you're patur, then you get no schar. Then why did we see earlier that you're not obligated to drink water, but if you do, hareze mishubach? That would be a case that you're patur. You're allowed to drink water, you're not chayv, you can have water outside of the sukkah. So why having water outside of the sukkah back in Sif Bet was hareze mishubach over here, right? So why is that considered to be something meritorious? But on the other hand, we see over here, but anybody who is not obligated to the sukkah and doesn't leave, you don't get schar. Rather, we go into this other kind of analysis. So the two metaphors that he used, one is don't kick it, and the other one was like the servant has the water, and the water was how we got the title for today's Shear, and there's a reason for that. If no one has guessed it yet, then I will say it clearer, more clearly as we continue. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah And it's really here in the middle. It's very much speaking about the future, the fancy way of saying that. It's eschatological, it speaks of the end of days, and it tells us that the non-Jews, well, all kinds of people will attest how the Jews really were heroic throughout history. And then it says, but the non-Jews are going to realize that they missed the boat and they're not getting reward. So they will say to God, Amru lefanav, ribono shalom, tineina lanu merosh v'nasena, give us some kind of a mitzvah and we'll also do it. Amru lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed him, Misha Tarach Be'erev Shabbat Ochel B'Shabbat. By the way, that's where the phrase comes from. And it has nothing to do with Shabbat. It rather has to do with Yom Shekulo Shabbat, the Messianic age. He says, no, now's not the time to do mitzvot. The time to do mitzvot was during this world. And now in the Messianic age, now you want a mitzvah. Misha Tarach Be'erev Shabbat, the person who prepares before Shabbat, Ochel B'Shabbat. Misha Lo Tarach Be'erev Shabbat, the person who didn't prepare themselves for the holy day, Mehechon Ochel B'Shabbat. You know, what are they going to have? And again, this is talking about the future and the mitzvot. Ella, Afal Pichein, nonetheless, mitzvah kala yeshli. So it's also very interesting. B'sukah Shema. So it calls it a mitzvah kala, a very easy mitzvah, which goes back to discussion that I think we had last week. Sukkah is a wonderful mitzvah, a wonderful time of year. It's nice to sit outside. L'chov asota, go and make your sukkot. Umi matzi amr hachiv, amr vishu ben levi, mai tichtiv, and we'll skip a little bit. Hayom lasotam, lo yom litos haram, and lefish HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ya'ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu, babitrunia imbriot. God doesn't give people a hard time. God is easygoing, as it were. Why is it called mitzvah kala? It doesn't cost any money. For some reason, my sukkah cost me money this year. But what it means is that theoretically, you go and you take a little couple boards over here, take a couple sticks over there, you go walking around your field, and you throw it all together, and you have your sukkah. Miyad kol achad v'chad notel v'lech v'oseh sukkato b'rosh gago. And then everyone went and they put their sukkot on their roofs. B'Kodesh Baruch Hu makdir aleim chama b'tkufat tamuz. And God took out the sun and made it as hot as possible. U'miyad kol achad v'chad m'v'eit b'sukkah v'yotzeh. And then everybody walked out and they kicked it. But by the way, the whole thing over here is, the whole problem over here is they kicked it. The Gemara is going to say it in a second. Shenemar, and it quotes a pasuk over here, which we're going to script. But makdir, God is going to make it so hot. V'homar te'ena Kodesh Baruch Hu ba imbriotav bitrunia mishum d'Yisrael namizim d'mashchel lohu tkufatam azad chaga. For the Jews, sometimes also it's very hot on Sukkot time. V'havi lohu tzara, and they have discomfort. V'amar Rava, and Rava said, mitzdar patam in a sukkah. Somebody who's discomforted is not obligated for the sukkah, which is really what we had seen earlier in terms of the rain, in terms of things like that. Nihid de patur. Okay, so once you're patur, ba'ute nami babita, they're going to kick it as well. Miyad HaKadosh Baruch Hu yoshev u'mesachek aleihem. God is going to sit up in heaven and he's going to laugh. Shenema yoshev b'shamayim yitzchak. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak in tzchok lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu eloto ayom bilvad. And you can look at Tosfot, which discusses what's left or not left. Or lo b'shamayim hi, we have Gemara. The Gemara says there that God smiled. Komachayich va'amar nitzchuni b'nai, nitzchuni b'nai. Over here, it says, no, it's full laughter. So this whole Gemara actually really needs to be understood, but it's not what we're learning today. Rather, we referenced it. And I think there's actually a question that perhaps is beneath the surface that would deserve to be asked. And maybe we'll go a little backwards and try to understand this. At the end of days, the non-Jews are going to complain that they don't have any schar. So God says, no problem, I'll give you a mitzvah, an easy mitzvah. Sukkah. So if you go, goes build the sukkah, and God makes it really hot. So they all walk out of the sukkah. Now, they wanted schar. So if they wanted schar reward, so God should have given them an ability to have reward. So therefore, when they walk out of the sukkah, they kick it. And the Gemara seems to imply, what's the problem? The problem is that they were potter. But if they were putter, then they shouldn't have kicked it. But there's a whole other problem here. The whole point over here was they were asking for an opportunity to do something to get reward, which therefore leads me to a question. If somebody builds their sukkah and wants to sit in the sukkah, but they can't, why can't they? It's too hot, it's too cold, it's rainy, or the sun is... So at that point, they're putter. Do they still get schar? Do they still get reward if you walk out of the sukkah and you couldn't do it? So that's really what my question is over here. Should they still be getting schar for at least trying. And the Gemara seems to imply, not here in another place, that if Jews who have a relationship with God try to do a mitzvah, then they get reward. And of course, the way, I'm saying of course, I think that the way to break this down is that a mitzvah and a sin has two elements to it. One element of either one of them is the actual action, the good or the bad deed. The other element is the relationship. So therefore, I think there's certain things in life, you know, you come home Friday night, you come home Friday afternoon, and you didn't buy flowers, you don't say anything, and then you say to your wife, listen, you know what, you should just know, I went by four different stores to try to pick up flowers for you, but they didn't have flowers. So is she going to say, well, you're a complete loser because the bottom line is the flowers? Or is she going to say, you know what, that's very sweet that you tried so hard. I mean, some of us would only go to the first one. Okay, I tried, I couldn't do it, what can I do? I once posted on Facebook that this true story. It was around my wife's birthday, and I went and I got a beautiful thing of flowers in the Shuk and Machane Yehuda. And as I'm walking there, every single woman is looking at the flowers. It's like total way of getting attention. They're all looking at the flowers. And half of them had this look on their face, wow, what a wonderful husband this is, and really, what a lucky wife that must be. And the other half are looking and saying to themselves, I wonder what he did that he have to buy her flowers like this. So, of course, I learned my lesson not to buy flowers after that. But, you know, part of this is the relationship. And you try to do something nice for somebody, I really would like to believe there's a relationship. So then God looks at us and says, okay, you try to do the mitzvah. You know, you built the sukkah. Let's say you built the sukkah and you were not able to sit in the sukkah. Okay, so shouldn't I get reward for this because I tried? Or you're going to say, no, that's it. So this whole Gemara, actually, what it implies to me regarding the mitzvah of sukkah is, again, just to lay it out. They say we don't have any reward. Give us a mitzvah. God gives them a mitzvah. But it was really hot. So in a sense, what God is saying, yeah, I'm going to give you a mitzvah. See, I think that there's another whole level to this Gemara. I told you I wasn't going to do this, but look at this. I got stuck doing this. I think there's another level to the Gemara. And the other level to the Gemara is that the pagans always felt you need to sacrifice something. I need to sacrifice something to God. And in this sense, God is saying, no, you don't have to sacrifice because I don't need anything. And therefore, I'm asking you to do something. But even if you don't do it, I'll give you this schar as if you wanted to do it. But I don't need anything. And I think that was really the message to pagans in the future. I think that's the perspective the Gemara was taking. And therefore, building it is enough. But now I just want to go back and talk about Jews. So therefore, if a Jew builds the sukkah, is that enough? And that takes us to this other Gemara that was referenced by the Ramah, which would sound as if the answer to that is no. And that's really what is troubling me. So one thing that he brings here, kushiyotzim in a sukkah, we call it shem al yivat v'yetze. Don't kick it as you go out, right? That was in source one, and we saw the whole Gemara in source two. The mission in source number three, mission sukkah says, kol shivat yamim adam oseh sukkato keva v'yeto arayi, that the whole 7 days, the sukkah becomes the main place. Your dugish shamim, if it rains, me'im atam utar lefanot, mishit tisracha mikpa, when the food gets ruined. Mashlu mashal lama devo domeh, and then, this is the problem, and what is this compared to? La'evin shabal limzog kos l'rabo v'shafach lo kiton al panav. That it's the servant who comes and wants to mix the wine for his master, and he pours the wine and he pours it on his face. Now, there's actually two possible ways of reading this. One way to read this is that the servant gives it, makes this offering, as it were, to the master, and the master takes it and throws it right back at him. The other way to read it, which the Gemara rejects, by the way, the second way that one could have read it, is that the Eved is trying to mix the wine, and doing this, he awkwardly spills it on the master, which means he didn't do it properly. And if you look at the Mishnah carefully, you see you can read it either way. Mashal, mashlo, mashal, lema devadomer, le'evet shabad lemzo kos l'rabo, v'shafach lo kiton al panav. So it's really being said in a power of way that you could have read it either way, but the Gemara doesn't like reading it the second way that I read it. So the implication of the second source is actually the exact opposite of the implication of the first source. That the implication of the second source is that if it starts to rain, then it's as if the servant comes and wants to try to serve the master, and the master throws it right back in his face. And maybe that's the feeling that we get. You go through all the effort to try to build the sukkah, but it's not just a sukkah. And that's really why I chose this specifically this year. There are many things that we want to do. There are many mitzvot we want to do. We wanted to go to shul for the last 6 months, and we wanted to be there in Rosh Hashanah. We want to be there in Yom Kippurim. We want to build the sukkah, and actually somebody said this to me a couple weeks ago. A fellow in my shul, as we're standing outside, he goes, after everything else, it'll probably rain on Sukkot as well. So it didn't rain. But it was really, really hot today. It was a good 36 degrees. I don't know exactly what's considered to be the heat of Tammuz that it was referring to, but it was not completely comfortable sitting in the sukkah. I know how fun, and again, we get now to that point. If it's not really comfortable, and somebody says, "No, I don't care. I'm going to sit there anyway." I mean, I can assure you that sitting in the sukkah. Back when I was growing up in Brooklyn, there were times we had heaters on, and there were times that we had coats on, and it was quite cold. So why not just say you're mitzvah? But there's more to this, obviously. But I essentially have a contradiction between my two sources, because one source would seem to imply that, unless you're just going to say that God was being really cruel to them and didn't want to give them an opportunity, and it was really too late, but that's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara says the opposite, that God does not treat his creatures or creations with meanness like that. Says, so why do you make it hot? Because, okay, God's allowed to make it hot. Then they just had to walk out. But it was kicking the sukkah was the problem. So it's really interesting that that agada made its way into the Gemara. By the way, when you leave your sukkah, don't go kick it. I mean, don't get upset with the sukkah. Which, again, I just hope you appreciate that. But on the other hand, the other Mishnah said, but if you walk out of the sukkah because it's raining, essentially the feeling that we should have is that God just threw it back in our faces. And maybe that's the way that some of us have been feeling at this point, that we try and there's so many things we want to do and we want to serve God, and God took that away from us. So I'm saying is that that was my motivation for speaking about this year, because I think that there is something very real in this source in terms of the feelings that many of us have, and I would say, you know, legitimately so. We have these feelings because that's what we've been going through. So let's continue and let's see where this takes us. Another thing that we need to remember is a basic complexity about Sukkot. Because on the one hand, if it rains, we feel that God is throwing it in our face. On the other hand, in source number 4, the Mishnah Rosh Hashanah tells us, "Barba prakim ha'olam nidon," that we're judged in different times of Pesach ala tfua, "Batzeret ala peirat ha'ilan," "Barosh Hashanah kol b'yolam avrim lefanav kibdei maram," which is really the source in the Mishnah that we have judgment on Rosh Hashanah. And then it throws in at the end, "Uvichag Sukkot nidonim alamayim," that on Sukkot is the time that we are judged for water. But what does it mean, judge for water? We're judged that we will have a good, proper rainy season. The Mishnah in Ta'anit also refers to the water and Sukkot. And water and Sukkot is a thing. It's a theme. You can't ignore water and Sukkot. We take the Arba Minim and we're praying for rain. I mean, just pay attention to the words, especially on Hoshana Rabbah. You'll notice the prayers that we say. We pray for rain. The Nisuch Hamayim. The whole thing, which is done in Simchat Beit HaShoeva, is all about using water and serving God. There may very well be much deeper points that we're not going to do today in terms of, for example, Jerry, Michael, what chapter are you in my book? What are you up to? I can ask all of you the same question, can't I? Oh, wow. Okay. Good. More people should buy it. It's good. So in one of the chapters I talked about Ben Azai and the four that went into Pardes, and one of the things there is Rabbi Akiva warns them, don't say Mayim Mayim. So this thing about water is much deeper. The Mayim Mayim by Moshe Rabbeinu, the upper waters and the lower waters. The Nisuch HaMayim is very much a lower water. On the other hand, the rain coming down is an upper water. And there's a tension between the upper waters and the lower waters. So all that I'm pointing out now is that in terms of Machshava, there is a lot more to talk about. And again, including the sin of Moshe Rabbeinu, where he hits the rock twice. So that's also a sense of water. So all of these things need to be considered. So I say that Sukkot is about water. On the one hand, we're praying for water to come down from heaven, and we're doing the Nisuch HaMayim. On the other hand, when water comes down from heaven, we get very upset because we don't want the water, which means we're the kinds of people to say, God, we want rain. Not now. I'll let you know exactly when. And it's a thing. It's a thing that when you look at the Rashi in the second parasha of Shema, that we have rain in the proper season. And what's the proper season? It tells us. On Wednesday nights, Friday nights, I saw one of the Acharonim ask, so what if Sukkot is a Friday night like this year? So rain on a Friday night's a good thing. It's not a good thing when it's Sukkot. We don't want rain on Sukkot. But there's a tension, that's what I'm pointing out. That Sukkot is a time that we start praying for rain, but we don't want rain. And the rain falls, then we get upset. And it's really the two different aspects of the holiday. The Arba Minim are praying for rain, and the Sukkah is we feel this protection from God. But when we can't stay there, then we get this level of frustration, which is exactly what I've been trying to get to. The other Mishnah, the Mishnah in Ta'anit, Me'imatai Maskiun Gvurat Geshamim, when do we start making reference or mention of the power of God to give us rain? When we say Mashiv HaRuach HaMerit HaGeshem, which we're going to start doing very soon. Rabbi Lezer Omer, Miyom HaRishon Shel Chag, which is very interesting. Rabbi Lezer's opinion is, you start mentioning Mashiv HaRuach HaMerit HaGeshem on the first day of Sukkot. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Miyom Tov Achron Shel Chag, meaning on what we call Shmini Atzeret. Amalor, Rabbi Yeshua, Hov Engshom Elosiman Klala B'chag. So there you have a Mishnah saying it. So it's two Mishnayot. One Mishnah just now said, but if it rains on Sukkot, it's a curse. It's a sign of a curse. On the other hand, we had this other Mishnah that said that if it rains, then it's as if, you know, God is the master threw the water right back in our faces. So I'm saying is that we have multiple Mishnayot which speak about this negative aspect of rain on the holiday itself. And at the same time, we realize there's the third Mishnah, the one Rosh Hashanah is saying, and we're being judged for water right now. So water is this theme of the holiday of Sukkot that we're desperately praying for it and we want it, but we just don't want it now, which is also certainly interesting. So I'm going to read off of Nilo Marti L'shol El Laskir Mashiv Aruch Marit HaGeshem Ba'onato. If that's the case, you're only mentioning it. You should always mention it. So it seems to be that this is all not really all that resolved. I want to point out a machloket rishonim, which is going to help us understand, hopefully, the larger issue. Rashi here says, is back on our mission in Sukkot about the water being thrown back in our faces. And Rashi in source number 6 says, when the food gets ruined, mishetisrach hamikpa, mishetit kalkel hamikpa. That when rain comes on the holiday, it's a curse. Now, I just want to properly read Rashi. We won't understand it till we see the Rambam. Then we'll go backwards and read Rashi again. The Rambam, both in 7 and 8, we'll look at 8 first because it's probably the more authentic translation. Again, Rashi, the Rambam's Perish Shnayot is written in Arabic. So this is the Rav Kapach edition in source number 8. He writes, V'yiridat ha-geshem b'tchilat Sukkot morasha'im pu'alatam ritzui lefnei Hashem. When it rains, and notice he says bitchilat in the old translation of the Rambam, which is source number 7, v'yiridat ha-geshem b'tchilat ha-sukot, remez ki Hashem einu mekabel ma'aseim b'ratzon, that God is not accepting pu'latam, or the other one, she'in pu'latam ritzui'a lefnei Hashem. You know, one of the things that we pray for in every single Amidah is we pray that our prayers will be accepted. Right? And we say the whole Amidah, and then we say, Ritzei Hashem, right? God, please accept my prayers. So therefore, the accepting of the prayers is not a simple thing. At the end of the Seder, the last thing, what's the last part of the Seder called? Nirtza. We're praying that God is going to accept all of our things that we do, which means we can go through the motions, try to do a lot of things. At the end of the day, God has to accept it. So we pray that our actions are accepted. We pray that our Leil HaSeder is accepted. And that I'm going to say it again, that is this Ritzeh or this Nirtzah. So now, having said that, let's read that Rambam again, and hopefully it will be even more understandable now. He says as follows, V'yiridat ha-geshem b'tchilat sukkot mora she'ein pulatam ritzuya lefnei Hashem. There's no ritzui, there's no acceptance of it. Or in the other version of V'yiridat ha-geshem b'tchilat sukkot, remiz ki Hashem einu mikabel ma'aseyam biratzon. So I don't know what it said in the Arabic, but again, reconstructing by seeing the true translations of the same line, what it really is saying is that we've gone through the motions, we want God, and God is not accepting it. God is not accepting our actions. So again, why not say in this example that we did our best and therefore we tried and it's great? I mean, what's missing over here? Why isn't you saying, okay, we tried, you know, machsheva kema'aseh, or anus rachmana patre? These things mean you try, God accepts it. Why didn't you just fix the relationship? What exactly is nonetheless missing? So when I said we'll read the Rambam and go back to Rashi, Rashi writes, Gishamim hayardim b'chag siman klala. So what's the difference between Rashi and the Rambam? Rashi says, chag, all 7 or 8 days. On the other hand, the Rambam wrote, b'yirat geshem b'tchilat sukkot. Rambam seems to be talking at the first day of Sukkah, which means what happens if it rains on the third day of Sukkot. According to Rashi, it's still looked at as some kind of a curse because it's raining on Sukkot. That's what he writes. If it rains at any point during Sukkot, that's a curse. Well, the Rambam seems to be saying, no, the problem is only that first day. It's only the B'tchilat HaSukkot, the first day. Which really takes us back to a certain extent to the difference between the law of the first day and the other days, which we will go back to hopefully soon. The Ritva writes, this is the Ritva in Ta'anit, because we noticed that there was a Sugya in Ta'anit here, there was a mission in Rosh Hashanah, Sukkah, and in Ta'anit. So in Ta'anit, the Ritva writes, Amar Yeshua, Hol Ve'en Gishomim Siman Bracha B'chag, Lamo Maskir, right? It's interesting. Ein HaGishomim Siman Bracha. What does the mission actually say? Ve'en HaGishomim Ela Siman Klala. So you see, he went out of his way to say it's not a bracha. Rather, the Mishnah said it's a klala. So it's very, very sweet, what he says here. And he writes, Pirish, Kida Amar B'sukah, Lama Gishamim Dome Lema, Gishamim Domim B'chag, what is it like when it rains? La'evit Shemazag Kos L'Rabo V'Shafach L'Kiton Al Panav. And he throws it back into his face. Mikan Mashin D'Mishum Kol Achag Ka'amar. And it sounds like what he's saying, it's all the holiday, by the way, like Rashi. V'lo alayla rishon bilvad, kida katav Rabbi Ephraim. And he's quoting over here one of the Balei HaTosfot, Rabbeinu Ephraim, who said, no, it's only the first day is the problem. El sheish l'tchot, b'layla rishon simen kala, mikan ve'elech lo kala v'lo bracha, kilishna d'vatnin d'hacha. So what you'll notice in this Ritva, without solving this, he's telling us that it sounds that there's two different ways you can read this, as we saw in Rashi and in the Rambam, or Rabbeinu Ephraim in the Ritva. The Tiferet Yisrael, on his comments to the mission, v'shafach lo kiton shamayin shel eved. So he makes sure that we understood it right, that it's being thrown in the face of the eved. Shiyotze b'pachi nefesh, and that's why he walks out embarrassed, and he says, asur lishev sham. And he concludes by saying is that once God does this, and God is saying, I don't want your service, which is the line in the Gemara, he's saying, therefore, what I understand from this is that if it rains, God is saying to you, please leave the sukkah. Which takes me back to this issue. If it rains on Sukkot, what were one of the things that we saw? What did the Ramah say? If it rains on Sukkot, right, go all the way back. If it rains, we'll have to see where he got that from, the hediotot. Right? And you have to leave. Don't kick it. Rather say, you'd say, what can I do? God doesn't want my service. So if God doesn't want my service, am I allowed to be machmir and stay? Which takes us back to this other issue, that it said that nonetheless, that if I drink water on it, then it's a reizim eshubach. And more than that, Achila b'sukah b'lel yom tov rishon chova, right? Yardu gishamim, or is it nechnas l'toch habayit, right? When do you go? But then it added and said, when is this true? This is true only on the other days. Here it is over here. Because Adafka Bishar Yamim, Ole Lo Chusukot, Avalaila Rishonar, right, just the first night. Tzarech Lechol Kazayit Pesukah, Afim Gishamim Yordim. So why is the first night different? So I hope that there is a thread that all of us are still following now. What's the difference, the first night and the second night? Why is this a rejection? What's going on? And let's take a look. The Rambam, okay, the Tzarech Yisrael said you're not allowed to sit there. The Rambam in Halacha Bet says, Cholim u'mishamshim patur min ha-sukkah. There are certain people that are sick or those who are helping them, they're patur from the sukkah. V'lo chol ha-shesh b'l sakana, ela filu chash b'rosho, filu chash b'inav, mitztar patur min ha-sukkah. Doesn't say you have to be deathly ill, God forbid. Mitztar, you have a headache outside. V'ezu mitztar z'sheni chol lishon b'sukkah, m'nei ha-ruach, m'nei ha-zvuvim, and so on, m'nei ha-reach, the neighbors, which means all kinds of things, makes it uncomfortable. You mitztaer. It's the same thing. When would you leave that room? You'd leave that room because there's something bothering you there, and then you patur. Halacha gimel, somebody lo aleinu is in avel, chayav b'sukkah. V'chatan v'kol ashur shvanim v'kol b'nei chupa paturim min ha-sukkah. It's actually on this law, gimel, where the Hagot Mamoniot is going to talk about the head yotot, but let's hold on to that for a moment. Source the Rambam in one more paragraph. Halacha Yud, Yerdu Gishamim, Harei Zeh Nichnas L'Toch HaBayit. So it's interesting because we're not learning the whole chapter, but you have people, somebody who's sick, they're sick. The sukkah is fine, they're sick. You have somebody who needs to air because of the winds and the noise or the smell or something, so there's the problem with the sukkah. First one is a problem with the person, here's a problem with the sukkah. Yerdim Gishamim is a problem that is, which one is that more like? That would be I'm mitzta'er, but why mitzta'er? Because there's rain going on. Ma'imatem utar lufnot, mishod ulutocha sukkati po, che'im yaflu utocha tafshil yipasel. It would ruin the food. Hayaocha basukav yadru gishamim nechnas labeto. Once you go into your house, upasku gishamim, ain mechayvimato lachzor lusukkah. You don't have to go back. Ad shigmur sudato. If you were sleeping and it started to rain, you went into your house, ain matrichanato lachzor lusukkah kolto laila. Eli yashem veto ad shela mura shachar. Why? Because it is tsa'ar, it's annoying to have to get up and go bring all the food back into the sukkah. Because it's annoying to be able to have to get out of your bed and go back into the sukkah. Which means that itself is tsa'ar. Which means somebody who has a headache can't sit in the sukkah, but it's going to give you a headache to have to get up and schlep yourself out. That's essentially what the Rambam is telling us. It's here in source 12 that the Gemara Mamoni it says, Katav Rab Simcha, Sfarani Kol Shapator Mene Sukkah, Ve'en Yotzei, Ein Makabel Schar, Ela Hedyot, Hu Kedi Ita B'Yushamni, Shekol Patur Mene Dvar Vosei, O Nikra Hedyot. What does a Hedyot mean? It means, I would translate it in English, an amateur. There's must be a much better translation, but that's what a hedyot really means. You're an amateur. You're an amateur in terms of the service of God, which means you're not sophisticated. It's a hedyot is not a very good thing. Now, what's interesting about this Hagot Mamoniot is he said this on Halacha Gimel. Halacha Gimel, if I look back at the Rambam in 11, Bet, right, there's Halacha Bet, Gimel, and Hey. Halacha Gimel was the whole B'nai Chupa. So why is he saying it here? And not saying it regarding the sick people, or saying it regarding the winds or the smell, or saying it regarding the rain. Why do he say it over there? And I don't have a very simple answer to that question. I'm just pointing out that is indeed a little strange. The Gemara he was making reference to is source 13, which is the Yerushalmi, and the Yerushalmi over here does in fact mention this. It's talking about a chatan who's patur from Kriyat Shema. He goes, but what if he wants to say it anyway? Why is he patur from Kriyat Shema? Presumably because he's so wrapped up in the obligations that he has at the moment that he is patur from Kriyat Shema. That was the original halacha. We do not follow that today. And so over here, it's where it says, V'toni Chizkia, if you see it here, V'toni Chizkia, kol mishu patur min devar voseu nikra hedyot. He called an amateur. Amud lei v'tani chatan patur, chatan im rotzeh l'kor korei. But we said, but if he wants, he can do it. Why are you calling him an amateur? Amud lei yachulani patur la, k'rabin gamliel da'amar eni shamei alachem, levatel mi demachut shemayim sha'achad. He goes, Rabbi Gamliel himself said, I'm not listening to you not to do a mitzvah. I want to do a mitzvah. What do you mean I don't have to say shema? Which means you, in a sense, it's a very funny conclusion here. Because it sounds like the Gemara actually rejects this idea that when you're potter, you do it anyway, you're called an amateur. Rabbi Gamliel is certainly not an amateur. So it's very funny that the Hagom Amanios cites this, and then the Rama cites this, and he brings it into the Shulchan Aruch and says anybody who's potter doesn't have to do it. And the question is, why? Why don't you have to do it? We'll skip 14, because that's really what this whole, that's what the whole Yerushalmi was going on. Actually, it's in two places, so I apologize. It's there as well. Fine. The Me'iri, in source 15. Now, those of us who don't know or don't remember, the Me'iri was only published, Me'iri lived around 700 years ago, but it was only published in the last century. So many people would not have known teachings of the Me'iri. In this case, they did know this because it was cited in other places, including the Shita Mekubetzet. B'midrashot Amru, which means he doesn't even actually know it's in the Rishalmi. Kol ha'patur min devar v'oseh nikra hedyot. V'dover ze'inu ele b'dvar she'kol ki yotze b'zeh ha'oseh patur mimenu. Ve'inu dover she'yotze mimenu. What's that? Sechel, o musar, o silsul, o chnat lev, o ki yotze b'zeh v'oseh mimenu al atzmo mitzvah. He goes, it's only true when the nothing emerges out of it. But if something emerges out of it, then you're not a hedyot. Which means, what's the problem? If in this case God didn't command you to do it, let's go to the most basic point. What's a mitzvah? A mitzvah is when God commands you to do something. We still don't know exactly what the problem with the sukkah is because God command. What's exactly the problem? God said live in the sukkah, now it's raining. So what's the problem? Why can't I be machren myself? So he's saying is when you call the head yod, why? Because it's not a mitzvah. He goes, yeah, it's not a mitzvah. What if there's something which is nonetheless positive, which I'm going to... which will emerge from this, then maybe it's a little different. The Maritz Chiyot over here, we're not going to read the whole thing, but he quotes the same Me'iri, and again, realize he was he lived before the Me'iri was actually published. He quotes this over here, and he says that there were Shai Lachmir Atzmo, so the case is that you can be Machmir. So what's the problem? I think it's going to work around source number 17. It's the Ritva, and it's not quoted enough. And we're going to build everything, hopefully, on the Ritva, and then we won't have to read all the other sources because I have another 16 pages, which we won't read. I know you're all looking at your watches right now. So, what does the Ritva say? Cholin, the people who are sick, umisham shehen, and the people who take care of them, turim in asuka, as we've seen. Asik na filu chashper or shobil vad, patur. Even if you have a headache, which means this is not a very high threshold. You don't feel well. The sukkah bothers you. You can sit someplace else. For time in mishum dichtiv, what's the reason? Teshvu. It says besukot teshvu shavat yamim. Teshvu. What does it mean? Teshvu. What does the word teshvu mean? So the Gemara learns teshvu kein taduru. Sitting in the sukkah means you need to live in the sukkah. It needs to become a dira. The ein dira b'makom shemitzta'er. But if the place bothers you, then it's not a... Oh, I'm going to explain this in a second. Then it doesn't work, doesn't apply. V'kachia mitzvah. So let me stop a second and ask you two possibilities. And we will have to channel in our inner brisker sense right now. The Brisker spoke about mitzvot, Reb Chaim spoke about mitzvot, which apply to the individual and apply to the object. So when I say that I have a headache, the sukkah is still a sukkah, but I have a headache. When it's raining on the sukkah, I don't have a headache, but is that sukkah still a sukkah? So what did the Ritva just now say? The Ritva said, what is a sukkah? It's your house. Now, I mentioned the very beginning, which part of your house is it? Is it your bedroom? Is it your living room? Is it your dining room? And my answer was all of the above. But what if, because of the way that it was, because of the current situation, let's deal one case at a time. Because of the current situation, I can't live there with my wife. What does that mean? It means it's not my bedroom. Why? Because my bedroom is the place that I live together with my wife. So therefore, if a spouse can't live in the sukkah, it's not their bedroom. So what does it mean it's not their bedroom? That's not my dira right now. That can't be my dira. So what I'm saying then is the sukkah is not a sukkah because it's not a bedroom, because it's supposed to take over my house. What if it's not my dining room right now? Why isn't it my dining room? Because water is dripping in and ruining my food. So that means it's not my dining room. So what the Ritva is actually saying, we'll go back and look at it again now. He's saying is, what's the problem? Is that it's Besuko Teshvu, Teshvu Ke'in Taduru. Ke'in Taduru means that you live in it. But if you can't live in it, then it's, I'll use the Briska terminology, the Cheftza is not a sukkah. It's not a sukkah. So now what would the reason be? And if you go anyway and you sit in the sukkah, if the head yot sits, if a person sits there, they're a head yot, why? Because it's not a sukkah. You're sitting outside in the rain. You're not sitting in a sukkah because it's not a dira. That is what I hear from this Ritva. Did that make sense? If yes, then shake your heads. If not, I'll say it again. So let's take a look then at the Ritva again, and then we still have to try to explain something. The Ritva writes, "Asikna filu chach barosh bavad v'taimim mishum dichtiv teshvu ke'ein taduru." It has to become your dira. V'ein dira b'mokom shem mitzta'er. It's not a dira. So if it's not a dira, that's what is leading me to say that he's saying it's not a sukkah. I think the Gra says a similar thing in the Shinot Eliyahu and Brachot. He said, "V'nira kol shum mitzvah be'etzem," which means, again, there are certain things you can do. Let's just go then a little later, lower on, so maybe this will make sense. That's not it. What was the case of the water? Hold it. Why, if you're machmir and you want to drink in the sukkah anyway, so why is it? Because that's a sukkah. Which is, what was the whole problem? It's an inverse of our issue. I hope you're still with me. Why is it an inverse? What did we say? What were the two laws that I said maybe sounds like they contradict? On the one who says that if you're machmir on yourself, then it's good. You don't have to drink water in the sukkah. You drink water in the sukkah, that's good. On the other hand, it says that anybody who's putter and does it anyway is considered a hedyot. I said it sounds like it contradicts themselves, but it doesn't. Because you're allowed to take a sip of water by a water fountain when you're walking up the block. You could buy a bottle of water when you're traveling someplace, and all of us drink water all over the place. You don't need a sukkah to drink water. But if I'm machmir only to drink water in the sukkah, hareza mishubach, why? Because the sukkah is a sukkah, and I'm just saying is, I'm only going to use my sukkah, but the sukkah is a sukkah. On the other hand, when it's raining into my sukkah, what's the problem now? Why can't I be machmir? Because it's not a sukkah. It's not a dira. It's not a sukkah. So therefore, by being machmir is foolish because nothing's taking place. Now that's actually going to be the problem with when it rains. Now, again, we have a little bit of attention. Is it only the first day or is it the other day? So what's going on? From Rashi, it sounded like it's a problem all 7 days. Why? Because I want to do the mitzvah, but I'm putter for the mitzvah. You can say, but there's no sukkah. I can't do the mitzvah. There's just no sukkah here. There's no, yeah, I'd like to do it. I'd love to have a sukkah. I don't have a sukkah now. So the problem is I don't have, I'm saying, but I built the sukkah. No, you try to build a sukkah, but it's raining on it. It's just not a sukkah anymore right now. So that would seem to be this idea of that God is throwing the water back at us and saying, you know, sorry. But what's the issue in the Rambam? Why would the Rambam say it's the first night? So I had a thought. I think I had the thought. And I certainly think that the Avni Nezer, the sukkah chover, he says what I wanted to say. But I think the way that it worked is I thought of it and then I found it. So let me explain. Why do we have a break of the rule that when it comes to the first night, even if it's raining, you have to sit in the sukkah? That made no sense. If it's the first night, you still say Kiddush. Why? But it's not a sukkah. So apparently, there is a process which takes place that I need to turn this sukkah into my house, which means when you're involved in real estate, there's at some point there's a signing, at some point there's something transfers, at some point the key goes over to the other person, and whatever that moment is, the sukkah needs to become your dira. And I think that the chiddush over here is the sukkah could become your dira even though it's not a dira, which is meaning, okay, I bought a place, but now it needs work on it, but I bought it, now it's mine. The first night of Sukkot, you need to make the sukkah yours, even though it's not a dira. But it's not a dira. How can you sit there? So it could be, but you need to turn it into yours. How do I turn the sukkah into my sukkah? By walking into the sukkah, sitting down in the sukkah, and even in the rain. Okay, you're bored and you want to take possession of that new house. You walk inside and you're saying, I'm marking my X over here. I'm taking possession of it. How am I taking possession of it? But the roof is leaking and the windows aren't in yet. Nothing. Yeah, but I'm showing that it's mine right now. This is my sukkah. And apparently, and I'm saying it again, the sukkah traveler actually says this. This is what I was thinking about that first night is. The first night is I'm making a shift right now. I'm turning v'sukoteh v'shivat yamim. I now have to leave my house and enter the sukkah. So I do that. But it's raining, so I'm putter. But before I'm putter, I first have to turn the place into my home. How do I turn it into my home? By sitting there. But it's raining, so I'm putter. But I still need to go through that process of doing it. And I think that that's what's taking place. So there's one more thing I want to try to explain today, and getting back to that first, what's missing? Why is it like throwing the water? And I want to, this week, over Chol HaMoed, was the Vilna Gaon's Yahrzeit, so I want to read something together from the Vilna Gaon about throwing the water back at us. And we're going to go straight to the Vilna Gaon. Source 24. The Gemara Mesechet Sukkah, there's a Kol Eliyahu, now he's going to pay attention to the word limzog, which I was careful all the way through. I kept trying to translate it as to mix instead of just to pour. Limzog kos l'rabo v'shafach lo kiton shamayim al panav, and he poured the water on him. V'yesh lo daktek, and let's be very careful. Madu lo mar kipshuto mashala eved shaba litain kos l'rabo. Why did you say, what did he give him a cup? V'shafach oto al panav, and he poured it on him. Right? Why does it say achen yuvar al mashroda? Meaning, why does it say limzog? He goes, rather we know ki rosh hashanah v'yom kippurim hem yimei hadin. These are days of judgment. V'achoreim yimei achag b'mitzvat l'kichel ulav v'shiva sukkah. And these are days that God gives us lots of mitzvot. V'yomim ha'eila hem yimei rachman l'hamtik hadinim. These are days which are designed to sweeten the judgments that were passed. Yimei rachamim lahamtik hadinim al yidei how hamitzvot hamakifot otanu. God's right gave us so many mitzvot to keep us busy doing good things during these days. V'asher nachnu mamilim yadinu bebracha b'yimim ahem. Amnam beredet k'shamim hamachrichim otanu levatel mitzvot ha-sukkah, but when it rains we have to leave the sukkah. Hareze, and I think this is the proper nikud, eid misachik ne'eman. It becomes like a joke. Yehud barchenu chafetz chas v'shalom l'fasher adinim. God doesn't want to allow us to soften the judgment. Ki im shisharu b'tokfam u'gvuratam kasher hayu. And he wants them to be as strong as they were. V'zot nuda ki hamiziga. What does it mean to pour? Hu eruv mayim b'yayin lamtik cherefuto shi'era u'i l'shtia. So let me make sure that we all understand what he just now said. That, you know, some people, this is especially a Kabbalistic custom, that when they pour the wine for Kiddush, they put a couple drops of water in as well. Why? Because that is back to this idea of mizigat hakos. The wine represents din. The wine represents judgment. Red, anything red generally is judgment. And the water represents kindness because it's the geshna that comes from heaven. So therefore, what we try to do is we try to take the wine, we try to take the judgment, and we put inside of it, we put a little bit of din, sorry, of rachamim, and to soften it. Limzog, that's mizigah, to mix it up, la'arev. And arev, the word mixture, also is an idea of something which is desirable. So we're turning to God. He gives us all these mitzvot. And I can say, but okay, I try to do the mitzvah. Under the Rachman HaPatre, what the Gros tried to point out is, no, we need this mitzvot this time of year. Just in case the judgment didn't go the way that it should have, we want to soften the judgment. And that is the mizigah. And when God doesn't allow us to do the mizigah, then it's as if he threw the water back on us. And again, the water represents rachamim. But throwing the water at us, rain at the wrong time, rain when we don't want it, rain when we don't need it. In the Zohar, for example, the idea of sheleg, which is something which could have been water, is considered to be midat hadin. Rain is rachamim, but snow is din. Why? Because it's something which could have been rain. So there is a complexity with rain on Sukkot, and that's really where I started. And the complexity is that we want a winter, which will be a winter which will be full of rain in its right season. We don't want all the people that were Olah L'Regel having the rain fall on their heads. It was even one of the things that apparently the Kohen Gadol prays for Yom Kippur. The people going back and to start praying, don't let it rain yet. And we don't start even praying for the rain properly until all the people went back home. We want rain, but we want it right. And maybe that sounds like chutzpah, but that's the way the mitzvah was created. That we want rain, but we want it right. And we don't start asking for rain until the very end of this holiday. And after this holiday comes in, we say to God, please give us Geshem. And what it really comes down to is that the rain on Sukkot is not just the frustration of trying to create a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah that we need right now. It's a mitzvah which is full of being surrounded by God and walking into the sukkah, having the Or HaMakif is the way the Kabbalists call it, to be surrounded by it. It's one of these mitzvot. How many mitzvot do you do with your whole body? You go into a mikveh. You can be in Eretz Yisrael. You can walk inside to the sukkah. These are the mitzvot that are done with one's entire being. As again, this Or HaMakif. So saying, okay, you tried and you didn't do it, it's not the same thing as doing it. And I know in the relationship, say, okay, I try to buy the flowers. Okay, I'm going to get the flowers. But no, it's over here, it's not just, you buy the flowers and put a check. Being in the sukkah is something which should be transformational, not just for us, but also allows us to lighten the judgments that took place before. And therefore, that's what the Gro is pointing out over here. When we try to mix the cup, to do the mizigah, to put the little drops of water in the wine and make it a little bit more acceptable, to take away some of the sting of the din, and God throws the water at us and say, no, I don't want it. That's why it's theologically so frightening. And that's really the message behind this particular teaching. And as I said, it's particularly poignant in what's been going on. But I want to turn it around a second. It's not a question so much, and this is very important, it's not a question so much that we wanted to go to shul. And you can now fill in the blanks, be it Pesach or be it Shavuot or be it every Shabbat since then, or be it Rosh Hashanah or Yom Kippur or Sukkot or we still don't know what we're doing on Simchat Torah. That's not what it is. We're patur because we're osip mitzvah patur mitzvah. We want to protect the health of people. We do not want people to be put in a precarious situation. We don't want our young or old or our middle age to be getting sick. And therefore, somebody who's sick is patur min ha-sukkah. It's not even, meaning, remember there were two different issues there. I'm sick, God forbid, somebody doesn't feel well. That's still a sukkah, but I'm mitzvah eret, I don't have to be there right now. That's not the same thing as the rain being thrown at us. It's something else. It's saying that there are other values in Judaism, and one of those values is v'chai behem, to take care of ourselves. And therefore, I'd rather make the mistake every single day of the week of being overly concerned of taking care of other Jews than being flippant and saying, listen, it's not so bad. I was very, very strict before Yom Kippur, and I gave a talk, and I told people about how if somebody is sick, they have to eat. And there was one fellow who wrote to me yesterday. Now he, lo aleinu, he's got corona, and Meretz Hashem, he should have refuah shleima, but he wrote to me. He goes, I feel so bad. He goes, I'm freezing and I'm boiling and I'm going back and forth and I can't keep any food down. And he goes on and on describing how he feels, and he says, every word that you said was correct about somebody who was sick that they had to eat. He goes, every word you said was correct. And why was I correct? And he said, and they said he exaggerated all the other rabbis, blah, 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 blah. Of no concern to me. But why was I correct? Because I'd rather make the mistake and being overly concerned about other Jews rather than saying, listen, not so bad if we squeeze a couple more people in the shul. What's so bad about it? No, that is bad. And even though, and we have to understand sometimes it's the Yetzirah that's telling you that I deliberately wanted to teach this topic, but God did not throw water in our faces here. God is giving us opportunity of caring for other Jews in different ways. Sometimes we do it by creating a tzibur, by creating a minyan, by having a kiddush in shul. There's lots of good ways to do it. And sometimes we do it by telling everybody, stay away from shul because I love you and I care about you and I make sure that you're healthy and I look forward to seeing you soon. And that's what's going on over here. And God isn't pouring anything on us or rejecting us. God is just giving us a different way to be able to serve him. And let's excel at this, because the only ones who are going to gain from this are us as individuals and all of Klal Yisrael as a collective. So there's no water being poured on us. It's a way of showing love and devotion and caring. And that's this part that maybe when we're in shul, we don't always feel that. The opposite is true. In shul, sometimes we feel this exaggerated sense of selfish, maybe I need an aliyah. I need to daven. I need to say this Kaddish. I need to do this. You know what? It's like the story, I'll undo this. It's like the story of Yisrael Salanter, who actually had Yahrzeit for his father, and somebody else wanted to say the Kaddish, and he says, I'm sure my father would be very happy if I step aside for another Jew. I'm sure that will cause just as much as an Ilui Neshama as insisting to say the Kaddish. There's many ways to serve God, and right now we're serving God by caring and taking care of other Jews, and Bizrat Hashem will be successful. Everybody have a Chag Sameach with a challenging Simchas Torah. It's a challenging Simchas Torah. I told the people in my shul that they can all go around. I saw in the Ben Ish Chai, they can walk around in a circle around a table with a sefer on it, with a book on it. You can walk around seven times in your yotze. I don't know where you'll be davening, but that I've been doing that all week with the Hoshanas. I've been taking my lulav and esrog and walking around my shtender, and I'll continue doing it. But part of the thoughts as I do it is the care and love for Klal Yisrael. Chag Sameach.
My understanding was
he
just threw the wine back at him.
Yeah, but it says mizigah, which means that he has wine and he has water, and he tries to pour the water into the wine. By the way, I see two real estate lawyers from Miami who communicate over, not one, two over here. So I guess Miami's the place for doing real estate. I know you're wondering what's going on, but anyway, Chag Sameach.